It's game day. City's feeling good, maybe a little nervous, but still excited for tonight as the Leafs take to the ice at the Air Canada Centre against the Washington Capitals. The Leafs with the 2-1 lead in the series. The game tonight you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7. Annie Petrillo in studio alongside Mr. Mark Rowe.
You know what this is right now?
What is this?
This is Hamilton, Ontario saying, how's it going? We're ready for the playoffs. The Arkells from Hamilton. Scrizz is playing it just for me.
Yeah.
We'll get back to your soundtrack, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah, I need a little intonation featuring Joey a little later on. That'll make me feel better about life. Mm-hmm. But Scrizzy takes care of the guests.
Yes.
That's what he does.
Best. He's great.
Welcome, Marky Mark and the Good Vibrations.
Hi, how are you? This is, I think, the first time we've ever worked together regarding a postseason run with the Maple Leafs.
Well, yes, because I don't think we were alive the last time. No, they were.
No.
But this is pretty exciting. And here's the thing. It's a little, if you're a Leafs fan, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're also a little nervous. And here's the reason why. A, we all know it's a best of seven for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't over till somebody has four wins. Also, the Edmonton Oilers playing last night, and this is what we did heading into the playoffs. In fact, I've also made mention that throughout the season, you look at the Edmonton Oilers as probably a lesson to be learned from them. So heading into the playoffs, it was all about look at what they're doing and maybe don't make the same mistake. And the reason why I say that is only because the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think, are very similar, right? Young players, star players, haven't been to the playoffs in a long time. They had the 2-1 lead in the series against the San Jose Sharks. What happened last night?
Not so nice.
No, that was a 7-0 win for the San Jose Sharks. Their series are tied 2-2. So do you almost see it as a blessing, though, that Oilers and Sharks always play the night before the Leafs? So if ever the Leafs have a little bit of complacency set in, it's like, look at that, because that could be you.
Well, I don't want to speak for the Maple Leafs, but I have to think that the Oilers felt pretty good about themselves after Game 3, because not only did they win Games 2 and 3, and they won on the road, they really silenced that offense for most of that series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cam Talbot had a shutout in Game 2 and had to make 16 saves. Like, who makes 16 saves for a shutout in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And it was almost a similar script in Game 3 as well, and they only needed the one goal. So they probably felt pretty good about themselves, and they got a bit of humble pie, and you saw the stars of the San Jose Sharks and a veteran latent team that's been there, been to the Cup Final last year, you know, kind of oppose their will against the Oilers. And you're waiting for that to happen with the Capitals, and you saw that a bit at the beginning of Game 3. And I think we all silently, or maybe not so silently, expected that in Game 3, that Washington maybe was pissed off for losing Game 2, and they're going to come out in a big way, and they're up 3-1. And if Kevin Shattenkirk hits the net just once out of the three or four times, then it's 4-1, and as Mike Babcock says, maybe it's game over at that point, and you pull back a bit, and it turns into 5-1, 6-1, and you get that game that the Oilers just had. So to back to your point, I think it's great that they saw the Oilers and lose so badly. And just in case you're feeling a little good about yourself, you're saying, okay, we're a long way from defeating the President's Trophy winners in the first round here.
Well, exactly. So it's a 7-0 victory for the Sharks over the Oilers. The Oilers continue to go to the box. They gave up 8 power play opportunities, the Sharks getting 4 of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that this is a series where anybody's been undisciplined, but you do look at the last game. We keep looking at the turning point being the 5-on-3, but then just a few minutes later, they take that too many men, which usually, and you know, we had Hal Gill on yesterday, and we said those are typically the most difficult ones to kill, right? The too many men, because it's a brain fart.
Right.
It's an error. And the puck over glass. You hate those ones, right? You just hate those kinds of penalties.
It's a freebie.
It is. And a lot of times that can get into your head, which is why it's funny. Whenever you see somebody going to the box for those kinds of penalties, you're almost like, yep, that's a goal. For sure it's going to be a goal, because those are the worst kind of penalties to take. So the Leafs, though, I think that is, they got away. They killed it off. TSN turning point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also just a reminder that the Washington Capitals do have a pretty good power play. You worked hard. I don't want to say you got away with it, because that would imply that they didn't do a good job on the PK, and you have to give credit where credit's due. Martin Marinson.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I'm saying this.
Folk hero. After one game.
Played the full 2 minutes on that 5-on-3. And here's another thing. Did you breathe a sigh of relief to find out that he'd actually be okay to be in the game tonight? Because he didn't play a lot of that third period, right? He had an injury.
And you saw how much pain he was in.
And then Babcock confirming yesterday, no, he's good to go. Like, but that's where you are right now in the playoffs, where certain guys step up that you didn't think would step up. Even if they had a bad game one, which, let's face it, Martin Marincin was a little shaky, and we all know what happened in overtime there with his giveaway. But he's bounced back, and now you're to the point where you're a Leafs fan going, oh no, Martin Marincin can't be hurt. We need him in the lineup.
Well, and listen, no one's going to pretend like this is a top-flight blue line. You know, I want to say the Blackhawks, but it's a really bad time to compare anyone to the Blackhawks
because
they're down
3-0.
But, you know, like a team that has a Duncan Keith or a Drew Doughty, like we've talked about it all season long. This is not a star-studded blue line. It's a work in progress. So you know that they're thin as it is. So the last thing you want is to ruin the continuity of things. And you know, they're playing above their head, which is great. And a guy like Jake Gardner is playing above his head and playing great. And at least there's the comfort of knowing what you've been able to do together. And the more you mix and match and have to put new bodies in there, I think it bodes poorly for that blue line. Mm-hmm. And eventually it's going to hurt you. So, sure, like Martin Marincin being lost, is that devastating? I can't even believe I'm saying that. But then you bring in Marchenko, and Marchenko hasn't played in the series. And look at Zaitsev. Like, took Zaitsev a full, like, that was an awful first period. And he was the first one to say that. It took him a period to get used to not just playoff hockey, because he's played playoff hockey in the KHL, but playoff hockey against the Washington Capitals and how this series has kind of evolved and how it's playing. So, you know, you don't want to have to enter someone else into the lineup. You might have to, but I think if you're able just to keep your core together and what they've been able to do, it's the same reason why, you know, if Soshnikov or Eric Fehr are good to go, you're not putting them in because Kasperi Kapanen in that fourth line have something going, and you don't want to mess with it.
No, and based on, so they had morning skate today. We're going to have Kristen Shilton join us to give us an update on what's happening there. You talked about Jake Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's been having, I know it's three games, but he's been having a pretty good playoff so far. The Athletic writing articles on, the Leafs defense, and in particular, Jake Gardner. So James Murdoch will be joining us to discuss that a little bit more. We're going to have Chuck Gormley give us the Washington Capitals side of things. And so going through Twitter, and it's like, if you thought your fan base was a little hypersensitive, there's, I guess it's the Express that's in Washington. And I don't know if it's their front cover, but it's definitely a full page in the paper. And you know that iconic image, the scream?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that ugly, screaming, really freaky head?
That cost millions of dollars probably to buy?
Probably. Yeah, exactly. You see it everywhere. Well, that's the image they have, and it's wearing a Washington Capitals jersey. And it's basically saying, champs or choke.
Are they a little sensitive in Washington? Just a little?
See, like, and here's the thing. Nobody is counting them out.
Of course not.
So I this is what I would almost venture to say. If anyone's counting them out, would it be their own fan base?
Well, for sure. Like, we've had guests on the station talk about, you know, if you had to do a poll with fans. One of the best images I saw following Game 3 was, I think it was Comcast Sports during their post-game show, and they had a graphic, and it was an updated poll that was just like, it was like watching CNN during the election, and it was like, describe your panic right now, like very panicked, not panicked, we're going to win this series. And the numbers for very panicked was going like 60%, 65%, 70%, 70%, and it got to like 95%, which is probably just people like clickbaiting, whatever, but like it was just getting worse and worse. And this is a fragile, we talk about the Leafs being a fragile fan base, this is a fragile, you know, fan base because in Washington, because A, you know, their history, but B, there's a sense of urgency there. You know, like, I don't know when the window closes on this team, and I'm not saying Ovechkin's going anywhere, but there's a lot of pieces to this team that are eventually going to have to move.
Yeah.
And you just have to look at the baseball team in this city. We've been talking about when is the window close on the Blue Jays, and it's right now slammed shut given their start, but like, you know that feeling where there's an urgency, like you got to win now because we don't know what next season is going to be or the season after that. Or it's the total opposite for the Leafs, where you have this attitude, everything is gravy and we're in the playoffs and this is great. And if only we can get to game six and oh my God, we're up 2-1. We're up 2-1, Andy. Like the two cities in a nutshell right now.
Well, it is. And when we had Brian Hayes on last week, who's going to be joining us for the full noon hour, he had posed that question and we debated it. He had said, you know, who of the fan base would have the greatest arc in their emotions, I mm-hmm. guess you could say. Like, if the Leafs were to win, would they go over the top? And if the Caps were to lose, would they completely go in the dumps? Like, where would we see the greatest range of emotion? And obviously, I'm saying this. I know people are going to say, well, you're saying it now. But no, I said it then, too. I believed it was the Washington Capitals fan base. I felt that they were the more sensitive fan base. Because I think Leafs fans are crazy anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And I also feel...
Yep.
And I say that with love. But I think that, you know, they're excited and happy anyway. But I just think that because of the narrative heading into this series... the eighth seed, the underdog, the rookies, mm-hmm. that if they were to win, it's kind of like, oh, and we keep hearing that phrase, house money, right?
Yep.
So if the Leafs were to win, it's like, oh, this is great. Didn't really expect it, didn't put that pressure on them, but how great is this? Whereas the Caps, everything is about them having to win, supposed to win. So I think their fan base would dip the most. And if you're telling me that they're going to like 95% in extreme mm-hmm. panic, now we're looking at this newspaper in Washington where they have the scream face mm-hmm. with the Washington Capitals jersey on. I mean, yeah, it's, and here's the thing, it's 2-1. And that's what I feel like their fan base should be saying, but I almost feel like we're saying it more. But either way, it's a great time to be a Toronto Maple Leafs. And talking about those lineup, no lineup changes. Kristen Chilton tweeting that out right now based on the morning skate. So we'll get more of the update on that. We also are going to talk a little bit about Barry Trotz, because yesterday we brought up Alexander Ovechkin and his ice time. Now, we all know stats. They're as close as they can be. Because, you know, one of the beat writers for the Washington Capitals, looked over game footage mm-hmm. and said that, you probably shaved off about a minute or two that he actually did play. Like, one of the shifts, I guess, was clocked at 5 seconds, where he really did play 40 seconds. Either way, whether you gave him an extra 2 minutes or not, okay, fine, let's take him to 17 minutes. That's not a lot. Barry Trotz commenting on that. So could we see more of Alexander Ovechkin tonight? As mentioned, Pierre LeBrun will be joining us in the noon hour, and Brian Hayes will be joining us for the entire noon hour.
I think for sure you're going to see more Ovechkin. Like,
you have to.
If the coach is coming out and admitting it and making it public, it's for sure going to happen.
Do you find that a little strange?
Yes.
No, okay, so number one, let me just, full disclosure,
yep.
I love Barry Trotz.
Everyone
As
does.
A human being, I love this guy. I had a chance to work with him, and I just think he's phenomenal beyond phenomenal. But I'm going to say this.
And you're in the majority. I think everyone feels the same way.
I mean,
And I would say a very, very good coach.
Yes. I mean, we could sit here for the next, half hour.
He's not in the Coach Q or the Babcock category because he hasn't won.
No, he's not there. And we can sit here forever and talk about how great of a human being he is. Mm-hmm. But everyone wants to hear more about the coaching and the Washington Capitals. I find it strange that Ovechkin's ice time would pass him by, because he basically admitted. Actually, I'm not going to actually try and say what he said. Let's hear from Barry Trotz when he was asked about Alexander Ovechkin playing 15 minutes in that game 3.
Well, everything is, that's on me to get him the ice time. Sometimes that's situational. Sometimes that's zone, the zone starts. His minutes should be, I can get those up. Sometimes you have a bump up line. You're killing guys, penalty killers' minutes, and that's Backstrom and Oshie, and you sort of miss a rep or two here or there. But it wasn't based on play. I thought Ovi was playing terrific, and, it's on me to get him a little more ice time, no question.
See, you're in the playoffs. How does it...
That's why everyone loves him. Right? Like, isn't that like the nice guy that's like, you know what? This is on me, guys. I'm sorry. I got to treat you better. I'm sorry. You know what? I got to take you out for dinner. You know what?
Are you actually saying that?
Sure. Well,
okay,
I don't know.
Great.
We'll talk about it. I don't know where.
Dinner on you.
Oh,
but really, but here's the thing. How does that happen? You're in the playoffs mm-hmm. as a coach. How does that, your best player, we're not talking about a third line or fourth line where you're like, oops, didn't realize he was on the bench and I didn't play him. You're talking about your captain. How did his minutes get away from you? And it's not like the Leafs had, if I go back to game 3, the Leafs had 3 power play opportunities. So it's not like your penalty killers were getting a lot of time out there where you can be like, well, our penalty killing unit was out there and Ovi's not on it, so he was on the bench. I just find it a little strange that he would not notice that his best player had not been on the ice for a lot.
Well, when I first heard that clip, I thought, okay, the great coaches of all sports right now, how would they treat this situation? Bill Belichick, obviously he's on his own, but if you were to say...
A guy who would never say sorry and take you out to dinner.
No, never, no. But like, okay, in 3 years from now, say the Leafs are in a playoff series, and for whatever reason, Mike Babcock does not play Austin Matthews as much as he would normally would. Because that's kind of... It's not fair to compare them right now, because Matthews is still a rookie.
No, but if you're going by best player on team...
Right.
Yes.
So how would Mike Babcock address that? He would probably dismiss it, or probably say, you know, like, in a roundabout way, oh, so you know more about hockey now than me, like, in his way of doing it. And Babcock is playing mind games, you know, with Trotz or the Caps or whoever. And we've seen that before. We saw it with the Oilers. Well, that's a lot of time on ice there for Connor McDavid. You know, it's like, why?
These are all calculated.
Like, Babcock is not, you know, ad-libbing or freelancing any of his words. Like, they're all calculated. So Barry Trotz seems to be the exact opposite. And again, there's a very human side of things. And why he would say that, I don't know how his team necessarily reacts to that, because, you know, you have a captain, obviously, but your coach is also one of your leaders. Mm-hmm. And that definitely goes for the Leafs right now, who their biggest leader right now is Mike Babcock, because he's the most experienced guy. So it really did surprise me. And again, it goes to the narrative of he's not quite in the Bruce Boudreaux conversation. Mm-hmm. Trotz still has not gotten past the second round. And how much does that hang on him? And how much does that hang on his future with the Washington Capitals moving forward if... Mm-hmm. Don't edit that out if the Capitals lose to the Maple Leafs in the first round.
By the way, somebody, based on what you were talking about, the extremely concerned, not really relaxed, they actually tweeted, they took a screen grab.
Oh, really?
97% said, how concerned are you about the Caps being down 2-1 to the Leafs? See, the fan base for the Washington Capitals have spoken. Let's bring in now our TSN.ca Maple Leafs reporter, Kristen Shilton, who's at Morningsgate. How you doing, Kristen?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. We're always excited when it's game day. Any changes, surprises? Is it status quo? How did the Leafs morning skate go?
No, everything was the same. Lines are the same. Defense pairs the same. Only person absent was Nikita Shashnikov, who we saw him skating in an optional practice yesterday briefly, but he was the only one not on the ice today. Got an update on Roman Polak, who had right leg surgery yesterday. It's going to be a long rehab for him, but the surgery went well, and he'll be in the hospital for a couple of days until the pain subsides enough that he's able to go home. So that's sort of where the team is at right now in terms of their pairings, lines, and the injuries.
Ah, poor Polak.
If Polak is suffering, what would happen to us?
We would just pass out.
Because he's not a normal human being.
No, I said he's like not. The guy eats rocks for breakfast.
Yes.
Like, so if he's on a morphine machine, I would need like seven of them.
Yeah.
So what about Martin Marincin? I think Mike Babcock said yesterday he's good to go. Did everything look okay with him?
Yeah, he looked fine. That was a strange sort of thing that happened, because we saw him, you know, get plastered into the boards there. It looked like his ankle was off, waved the trainer away on the bench, but then he did leave briefly, came back. But yesterday we were told he was fine. He looked fine. I was watching him out there today. Didn't look like he was encumbered at all. Didn't look like he was any slower or doing anything differently than usual. So he should be fine. And that's really important for the Leafs D. It's a pretty thin group as it is. So Marincin, I think, has stepped in and really done a fine job in the role that he has, given that he didn't play there for about 5 weeks. So he's been a real surprise for them, and it's really important that he continues to play at the level that he is.
Kristen, I'm going to ask you a really tough question, so I hope you're
all
ready,
right?
Okay? And the reason why I say it's tough is because I'm asking you to kind of look beyond the curtain of Austin Matthews and his emotions, which is almost impossible. But given how the series started, and we're all talking about the shot streak, which he barely hung on for game one and two, but he broke through in game three with a ton of shots, got the goal. Do you sense that there is a little bit of relief after that performance for him?
Well, I think for him, he's a player who, like you said, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but I think it's really important to him that when he's playing well, you can sort of see it on his face. You can see it in his body language. He'll tell you, you know, during those streaks where he wasn't scoring, he wasn't producing, he would say, you know, everything's fine, staying the same. But definitely, I think just in terms of body language, you could tell that it does frustrate you. He's a goal scorer. He's a guy who wants to, you know, he wants to be a reliable offensive presence for his team. And when he can't do that, or when he's not doing that, you know, definitely it's something that for a player that competitive and for a guy who likes to win as much as he does, it is frustrating. But we saw him for a couple of minutes just today in the room talking about Mike Modano's, you know, saying this Caps are going to win in five. And, you know, he was sort of like, well, you know, that's interesting. Had those, you know, had a smile going talking about that. So I think there was some sense of relief there just to, you know, he just wants to contribute. He wants to be, he doesn't want to take a backseat to anybody. Like I said, he's very competitive. So I think for him to get going and to feel like he's in a good place offensively is really important. And it's really the way that Toronto has, you know, we talked about their center depth all year, but the fact that they have four centers going the way that they do now, that's a tough draw for the Caps because they obviously have, you know, great forwards as well, but there really isn't a weakness at center right now. Like everyone's playing at such a high level that it's it really allows the Leafs to sort of elevate their game to that next level.
Before we let you go, as we continue to talk to Kristen Shilton, our TSN.ca Maple Leafs reporter, we know that the Leafs are getting more of the lighthearted questions, at least yesterday, compared to the Washington Capitals. Mm-hmm. Was it still pretty lighthearted today, or are you feeling like it's get down to business now?
No, I mean, this is a team that, you know, they sort of thrive on being loose. They thrive on being relaxed. Today, I felt like the room was probably just as light as it's been all series. We saw on the ice today they were working on power play drills, and you know Morgan Rielly scored with a great point shot from the blue line. You see the celebration, everybody's you know enjoying that. So I just think little things like that just sort of show that this is a team that understands the task that they're facing. They understand the Capitals are going to try to play their best game of the season tonight, and you know even this thing up going back to Washington. So they definitely understand the gravity of the moment. But I think the Leafs just, they know that the best way for them to succeed is to just not think about anything other than whatever, whether they're up 2-1, down 2-1. If this is a game of hockey they have to play, they'll play the first 20 minutes, they'll talk about it, they'll play another 20, and that just allows them to be relaxed. And I think you just saw more of that today at morning skate and then right into the dressing room. You know, good conversations with guys. Everyone seemed to be, you know, feeling pretty light. So I think it's a good sign. Now that they can, of course, we've seen the first 10 minutes. We've seen the Leafs be up by 2 goals. We've seen them be down by 2 goals. Mm-hmm. So we know that those first 10 minutes are really important. But this is when they're at their best, when they're just loose and they just play their game.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of scenarios already play out in the three games in this series. Kristen, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, guys.
That is Kristen Shilton, our TSN.ca Maple Leafs reporter. And by the way, Babcock saying that the San Jose win last night is a motivator because he says it can be motivating for his club tonight. Don't get too comfortable.
Good point by you.
See?
I'm really glad that you asked that last question about Kristen, I should say. I find it so fascinating when you're covering a playoff series, and you've covered numerous, so I know that you're probably in the same boat. Observing how teams react to that week to 2 week journey, and how do they react to adversity, and how do they react to the positive performances. Mm-hmm. And it came to my mind yesterday watching the Montreal Canadiens during their morning skate. I don't know if you saw it, but Brendan Gallagher and Andrew Shaw were playing the game of trying to flip the puck all the way to the roof of the Madison Square Garden and trying to catch it on their stick. And I watched that and thought, yep, that's a team that just won 2 games in a row. And that is, you know, it's so easy. And then as soon, you know, I'm sure they're not going to have the same kind of practice today because they lost last night. And it's just the ebbs and flows, and you can't be 100, like, they're all obviously serious all the time, but you can't be uber serious all the time. Like, you have to relax and enjoy the moment a bit. And you even saw that, like, you've been to Stanley Cup Finals, I've been to Stanley Cup Finals. You even see that in the biggest series of their lives, that guys still have fun. And I think that's such an important part of hockey.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to some Tyler Bozak clips where he was being asked about Dark Guy.
Oh,
while
wow.
Matt Niskanen was being asked about...
How can you be serious when Dark Guy's around?
When you're losing. All right, we've got more coming up, including James Myrtle from The Athletic and also Chuck Gormley, NHL Network Insiders. You continue to listen to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050 and stream online, tsn.ca. On TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca, on iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter at Leafs Lunch 1050. Game 4 tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs, Washington Capitals. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1050 with the pregame beginning at 6:30 p.m. Puck drop at 7. Andy Petrillo alongside Mark Rowe. Feeling pretty good about today?
I feel great about today, hanging out with you.
See?
Hanging out with my friend.
It's not that bad. You bought me a coffee. That's really nice. Thank you.
I don't think I had a choice, did I?
What?
You got to respect the team captain, right?
That's, well, I appreciate it. You didn't put anything in here, did you?
Nope.
No, it's good. It's to my order. Half a sugar. I know everyone laughs at me.
She kind of looked at me and was like,
half a sugar.
I'm like, it's not for me.
And she knew you were ordering for me because she knows the girl who works in the Tim Hortons here. She knows my order.
Oh, Andy doesn't want to come up here and look me eye to eye.
See, I'm just too big for that now. Mr. James Myrtle, editor-in-chief at The Athletic Toronto, joining us now. How you doing, James?
I'm great, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so we know you're at Skate, and a couple articles were written by The Athletic in particular, focusing on the Toronto Maple Leafs defense, and we've been talking about that so far in the series, like the changes, obviously, Zaitsev not starting, then Roman Polak gets injured, Martin Marincin draws in, Zaitsev comes back. What, though, has been making them successful as far as getting the puck, getting it out? I know there's an article here about the stretch pass. Can you break that down a little bit more?
Well, they're finding a way to not spend a lot of time in their zone. I mean, I think that's really what we saw in the third period of Game 3, where the Leafs dominated the Capitals, and what they were doing was just turning the play back as fast as possible. And the way they're doing that is by having really quick, long outlets that they can make out of the zone. And the Leafs have offensively talented guys that can do that. And one thing I noticed in Game 3 is that often you will see, whether it's Matt Hunwick or Zaitsev, often they're giving the puck to Jake Gardner or Morgan Riley to either skate it out or make that pass, and they're really setting it up so their most offensively gifted defensemen are the ones that are driving that play out of their own zone. So, you know, it's been really interesting because I think if you would have told us a month ago that the Leafs had to go into the playoffs missing Zaitsev, obviously, for a couple of games and then missing Roman Polak after that, I think people would have said they were probably in trouble. But they've made it work with the guys that they've got.
James, the joke going into this series that the Capitals would win in three, that the Leafs would just, after Game 3, white flag, we can't do this anymore. You know, obviously it's a joke, but, you know, when we analyzed it, there's every category that pointed towards the Capitals being the better team. And not to say that's not true after three games, but it hasn't worked out that way. Now, given what you've seen after three games, and you've seen the performances and you've seen the trends, what's maybe one matchup that really sticks out to you?
Kadri against Backstrom and Ovechkin, and the fact that obviously Backstrom and Ovechkin have made an impact in this series offensively, but Kadri has too. And I think that that line, and you have to give Komarov and Connor Brown credit too, that line is just working so hard to take away time and space from those guys. Territorially, you know, it's pretty much a draw between those two lines. And what we saw with the Leafs and Mike Babcock getting last change in Game 3 is that they were out there almost every single second that Backstrom and Ovechkin were out there making their lives miserable. So that's one matchup that really, really stands out to me. And, you know, if you can neutralize a team's best players, and they're not even using really their top offensive line because that's been Matthews and Nylander, you know, it just shows the depth that the Leafs have that they really haven't had in a long, long time, that they can take out Washington's top line to a certain extent and then still get offense from elsewhere.
Well, Barry Trotz, we heard him vowing to play Alexander Ovechkin more, which means that line, especially Leo Komarov, will be a little busy, and perhaps Nikita Zaitsev, because he's the guy that's going out there now replacing Roman Polak in trying to shut down Ovi, and that's going to be pretty exhausting with a big body like that if he does, in fact, play more than the 15 minutes he played in Game 3. Jake Gardner, to me, is a defenseman that really toys with your emotions as a Leafs fan, you know, throughout the season. And I know it's 82 games, but he'll go through a stretch where he's incredible, and then he goes through a stretch where you're like, how could you make that pass? What did you just do in your own zone? But when we look
these are your thoughts, aren't they?
These are my thoughts. I mean, the guy toys with my emotions, let me tell you. It's a roller coaster ride. But, you know, and even in Game 1, right off the hop, he made this pass in the defensive zone, and of course it gets picked off, and then the Washington Capitals end up having what, you know, Mike Babcock calls the heavy shift. They were in the Leafs zone for so long. But really, since then, he's been their go-to guy. And he, not only does he lead the team in ice time, he leads the entire league, defenseman, forward, you name it. Like, he leads with just over 31 minutes of ice time. What do you think is making him so successful, given that he's playing more minutes, which typically history will tell you the more you play, the more chance you have at making mistakes. But it seems the more he's playing, the less mistakes he's making.
he doesn't have a lot of self-doubt right now. He's very confident, and he feels like the coaching staff trusts him. He feels like he's getting a lot of minutes, and that's what Jake Gardner wants. He wants the freedom to be himself and to be able to play the way that he wants to play. He wants the freedom to be able to be really aggressive in the offensive zone, and we've seen him with some extremely aggressive pinches down in the offensive zone where he's down at the goal line, and you wonder if he's going to be able to get back, but that's the way that Jake Gardner wants to play. He wants to be kind of like the fourth forward, kind of like a rover out there and alternate between forward and defense. He loves that the Leafs system allows him to do that. And, you know, Jake Gardner had a really good year. I mean, I think he was top 15 in points by defensemen this year. I mean, offensively, he really blossomed. The minutes he played were a lot higher than he has in other years. And you look at where he was producing offense and who he was playing with and who he was playing against, really. I mean, he's been getting the tough matchups ever since that Florida debacle game where they lost 7-2, Jake Gardner took over the tough matchups, and I think he's performed very, very well. So, you know, I think we're just now starting to see kind of the ceiling of Jake Gardner, and obviously it's encouraging for the Leafs that he's been able to step up and do that.
Well, another big test for the Leafs and their D-Court tonight. James, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That is James Myrtle, editor-in-chief at The Athletic Toronto. A lot of great articles there following the Toronto Maple Leafs here in the playoffs, so be sure to check out some of those articles. We're going to switch gears when we return here on Leafs Lunch. Chuck Gormley, longtime Washington Capitals insider, now an insider with the NHL Network, is going to join us and really just kind of put the finger on the pulse of the Washington Capitals. And, you know, while it's kind of a wee bit of a party going on in the Leafs room, what's going on with the Washington Capitals? How are they looking at things? What are they working on? What's their mentality heading into game 4? So that's what's coming up here next on Leafs Lunch as you continue to listen on TSN 1050 and stream online, tsn.ca. Game day in the city of Toronto, game 4 tonight. Listen to it right here on TSN 1050 with pregame beginning at 6:30. Andy Petrillo alongside Mark Rowe here on Leafs Lunch. The Leafs leading the series 2-1. Everyone feeling pretty good about themselves. The line of questioning completely different for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll get to that a little later on in the show. Washington Capitals just being hammered. One of their papers putting out, as we mentioned earlier, the image of the Scream, that freaky face wearing a Washington Capitals jersey. And a lot of fans, you made reference to a broadcast, and they're saying, yep, when they took a poll, 97% of Washington Capitals fans extremely nervous about the Leafs having the 2-1 lead in the series. To talk more about that, let's bring in Chuck Gormley, our NHL Network insider. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're great. We're just wondering, though, how Caps Nation is doing being down 2-1 in a series that we know is far from over. All you have to do is look at last night's Edmonton Oilers, San Jose Sharks. In fact, Leafs head coach Mike Babcock said, you know, he's happy that what happened last night happened before their game so his team can learn from the San Jose Sharks not being out of it and coming back and tying up their series 2-2. But how is the mood right now with Washington?
Well, maybe Mike Babcock should talk to some of the Washington Capitals fans because, yeah, they've been through this before, and I think high anxiety is probably the two words that fit the Capitals fans, you know, and there's a reason for this. I mean, every time that they've gone up in a series, they seem to have popped it up and lost that series. And when they go down in a series, you think that they're down 3-0 in the series, and that's not the case. So they have every reason to be as nervous as they are. You know, when we looked at this series, even a month ago, when it looked like it was a possibility, a lot of people in Washington were concerned about the speed of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think that's certainly borne true in this series. And with each game going to overtime, it's just an indication that it's not really where you finish in the standings, but how you match up in the first round.
I would think one of the frustrations, if you're a Caps fan or if you're part of the organization, is in the past, maybe you could point to a few areas of the team and say, okay, well, that's maybe what's missing. This team, top to bottom, seems to be the most talented team in the National Hockey League. And in terms of goals against, no one was better during the regular season than the Washington Capitals. I want to focus on that blue line. If you graded that blue line a 9 out of 10 with Carl Alzner, how would you grade it without Carl Alzner?
You know, I don't think it's that much worse. I like Nate Schmidt, and when I've talked with Todd Reirden at times this season, he told me that Nate Schmidt was probably their most improved defenseman. So he was like a hard luck guy with that goal by Austin Matthews. It pops up in the air. I think it might have actually hit Nate Schmidt in the head before it landed on the ice, and Austin Matthews made a nice play on that. But I'm not convinced that that defense is in trouble. I like the pairings. I like the way Dmitry Orlov has played this year. So I'm not real concerned about the back end. I'm a little more concerned about Alex Ovechkin not getting the ice time that a lot of people think, including himself, thinks he deserves. I mean, he played 15:08 in that game. And when you look at what he's normally used to, I mean, he was averaging more than 20 minutes a game last season. They cut him down to about 18 and a half minutes this season to conserve his energy. And it looks as though, you know, he's a guy that needs to get on the ice a little bit more, and Barry Trotz has to address that in tonight's game.
Yeah, we were discussing that a little earlier on in the show. So how about we compare the goalies? I mean, I don't think anyone can doubt that Freddie Anderson has been the MVP for the Toronto Maple Leafs here, because as well as the Leafs have been playing and as much as they have the lead in this series, they've given up grade-A chances to the Washington Capitals. So by no means have they been shutting them down. It's just Anderson has been a brick wall when called upon. So is there maybe just some concern that Freddie Anderson's outplaying Braden Holtby, who no one can dispute is a phenomenal goalie, but is he just, I mean, are the Leafs just getting the better of him, and what's happening there? I mean, are they fluke goals, or is he really kind of just doing something wrong? How do you put your finger on that?
No, I don't think they're fluke goals. I think that, I think he's doing something wrong, I think that the chances that the Maple Leafs are getting are quality chances. And, you know, you look at Cam Talbot, that the number of chances that he faces per game are probably far more than most goaltenders because of the way they play the game. And Freddie Anderson pretty much fits into that description too, because the Maple Leafs play such an up-tempo game, they're asking their goaltender to make big saves. The opposite is probably true of the Capitals, because they play such a structured defensive game, at least in my opinion. I think that the chances against Braden Holtby are not as great per game, so he has to step up a little bit better, and they need to play better around him. There will be some changes to the bottom two lines tonight, because we'll see Tom Wilson getting jumped up or pumped up to that third line, and Connolly dropping down to the fourth line. So a couple tweaks here and there, but again, your best players have to be your best players when the chips are down, and right now the Capitals have to get a little bit more out of their top line. Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, they've been good, but they need to be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barry Trotz did seem to promise he'd get Ovi some more ice time, so that does not bode well for Leafs fans, because he can be dangerous when he's out on the ice. Chuck, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Chuck Gormley, NHL Network insider, was a Caps insider for many, many years. But
might see more of the Toronto boy, Tom Wilson, being pumped up.
Nobody likes him right now.
Where is his Darcy Tucker jersey? Because he admitted he has a Darcy Tucker jersey, because he grew up a Leaf fan.
All of his family and friends are wearing Leafs jerseys. They're all at the game wearing Leafs jerseys.
We love you, but it's the Leafs. Sorry.
Well, you know what? Give the Toronto native credit, right? Starts on that fourth line.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great, like I pointed out, in the past, you've said, well, they're so talented, but they don't have the goaltending. Or they have the goaltending, but maybe a couple holes in the blue line. This team, top to bottom, like, they have good fourth line players. They have a great power play. They obviously have the stars. Braden Holtby, you would take, I don't know, maybe Carey Price you would take over him, but like he's
you take him on your Olympic team if
yeah,
there was
like
one.
Where, you know, you have a great coach. Like, yeah, I can totally understand the frustration, because it's like, what do we have to do to fight? You know, like, they're always running into the Penguins, or right now they're struggling against the Leafs team that is filled with rookies. And again, this is long from over. It's just I can understand being a little sensitive with regard to any kind of failure in the playoffs. And this was a series that many thought was going to be a sweep.
See, you mention all of that, and we talk about Tom Wilson, and he's going to get bumped up, and we talk about Braden Holtby. It always comes back to Alexander Ovechkin.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that they, you know, reduce his ice time, or they're loaded with talent. Doesn't matter if Kuznetsov is the one who's wreaking havoc in the previous games and getting the better of the Matthews line. It always comes back to Ovi.
And that's respect. Yeah. Right? Like, it always goes back to Crosby. You know when the Penguins were on that stretch of a few years where they just couldn't do anything in the playoffs?
Yeah.
It was Crosby's fault.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
When in doubt, it's their fault. And when they do well, you praise them. So we got a lot more to talk about here as it is game day in the city, getting set for game four. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1050 with pregame beginning at 6:30. Noon hour set to begin. We got our boy Brian Hayes, who's going to join us, as well as Pierre LeBrun. So stick around.